Steve Jones. How are you? Good to talk to you.
What? Good to talk with you. How are you?
Everything is going very well. You know, it's going to be a very weird season. It's going to be a season unlike any that I've covered. But I'm glad there is a season, even if it's going to be restrictive. And I don't think the insights in a year like this are going to be what they normally would be. I was telling somebody the other day that, you know, the sad part of a season like this is that, let's say if the events of last year had happened this year. You know, I've had a long relationship with Andy Reid going back to 1995 when he was a tight ends coach in Green Bay. And so, you know, I've known him, gotten to know him very well and consider him one of the people I know the best in the NFL. And so last year at the Super Bowl, at the end of the game, they have this incredible play where they're down 10 with 7.5 minutes to go, and Patrick Mahomes on 3rd and 14 throws this borderline Hail Mary long throw to Tyreek Hill, and that basically spurs them to these late touchdowns, and they win the Super Bowl. And so after the game, I went into Andy Reid's office in Miami, in their locker room, spent about 12 to 15 minutes with him, and I asked him, will you draw that play for me? I mean, it's the play of the game. So he was reticent. You know, he's just not that kind of guy. And I said, Andy, listen, this play is going to be in the Hall of Fame. You know, I mean, at some point, whether it be this offseason or whatever, NFL Films is going to do an hour on this play, where it came from. And believe me, everybody in the world is going to know the name of it. They're going to know everything. So Andy sat there. He pulled out a piece of white paper out of his little binder, and he drew the play, two jet chip wasp, and I put it in my column the next day. 6 hours later, after I sat there with him, America knew that play. Now it's on T-shirts. I was in Kansas City. I saw it on a billboard about a month ago, and it's just so, you know, I'm not whining about it. I'm just telling you the reality. The reality is our jobs are going to be a lot more surfacey this year than finding out how two jet chip wasps happened and what exactly happened on that play.
Well, exactly, because I know there's a broadcasting class I teach here at Penn State, and one of the items I usually bring up early on in the class is a slice of advice Red Smith gave to a young writer years ago who went up to him and said, hey, I'm just getting into this. Give me advice. And he says, I have two words for you. Be there.
Yeah.
Well, that's been the hallmark of what you've done over your career. You've always been there. So how close, I mean, how often can you be there, and in what form this year?
Well, In a normal week, let's just say that this is a normal season. All conditions are as they were and everything. I mean, the place I would have wanted to be, believe it or not, I probably would not have wanted to be in New Orleans for Brady and Breeze, even though that's going to be a historic occasion. I really was interested in going to L.A., the opening of this stadium that, you know, people, I think, don't really realize this project in L.A. It's this project in Los Angeles, where the Rams will play, is on a campus that, when it's finished in about 3 or 4 years, will be bigger than the campus of the University of Oregon.
Right.
And it's about a $6 billion project. And I remember I wrote this a couple of months ago when I was writing about this stadium. I said, if you combined the costs of AT&T Stadium in Dallas Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia and Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, it would be about $1 billion less than the cost of this project in Los Angeles. So, you know, I would want it to be there, and in particular, Steve, to see what it would be like with no fans there, and how odd a situation. I mean, can you imagine in a normal year where the NBA wasn't in a bubble, where you would see probably, you know, before this game, you'd see LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard and Doc Rivers on the sidelines. You'd see The Rock. You'd see all the, any football fan in Hollywood. Magic Johnson would be there, you know, and you'd see all these people, and it would just be the glitterati opening of this incredible stadium. And anyway, I mean, but those are the kind of things I think we'll all miss this year. Next week, I'd have wanted to be at the game in Vegas, at that new stadium. It's so funny. You talk about a franchise being in Vegas now. Until about 5 to 7 years ago, even mentioning anything about gambling as it relates to the NFL, you would have been ostracized, you know. And now the NFL is so accepting of gambling, and they're going to have one of their flagship franchises actually in Las Vegas. So there's just a lot of really interesting news stories this year, a lot of things that seem very, very weird and different, and we're just probably not going to get to cover them the way we would want to.
Yeah, it's interesting because you're running through the stadiums. L.A., Lucas Oil, okay. Did a game there. Did the Cotton Bowl last December at AT&T.
Yeah.
All right. And then, of course, the third one was, I'm trying to think what the third one was, Lincoln Financial Field. I've done a number of games there.
Lincoln Financial Field. You must have been there.
Yeah, several times. And what's interesting about that is each time I've gone into them, I go, these are spectacular. And to think that this place is $1 billion more than all three combined is remarkable. Because the last time I saw it, was going from the Rose Bowl to the airport, and it was still just a hole in the ground. And now to see it like this, it must be remarkable.
Yeah.
If Jack Ham said to me once, he said to me 20, 25 times last year, watch out for this guy, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And he ended up being because that's the linebacker in him, Peter. You know that. I mean, he's looking, how do I cover a guy like that? He was the first round pick on a team that already has a lot to offer. What can he mean? Because it's only one game, but what can he mean to what Mahomes and those guys do?
Well, you know, this is a very interesting draft for the Kansas City Chiefs, Steve, because, you know, as you know, the Chiefs, Andy Reid and Brett Veach, fellow former Eagle, Brett Veach is a guy from your area. You know, and you know, Brett Veach basically believes, probably more so than you would think, of a meat and potatoes guy, a classic football guy. Brett Veach really believes strongly in that speed wins. And so I only bring that up because during the draft process last year, the Chiefs had fallen in love with Henry Ruggs, the receiver from Alabama. Now, the Chiefs obviously had the last pick in the first round, and they knew that Henry Ruggs wasn't going to fall to 32. But every year there are some strange things that happen in the draft. And no one really knew last year. There was Jerry Jeudy, there was C.D. Lamb, there was Henry Ruggs. And all three of those guys, I wouldn't have been surprised whoever got picked first. You know, there was a lot of love for all three of those guys. But there was something about Henry Ruggs that totally fascinated some teams, obviously Mike Mayock and John Gruden. But Henry Ruggs just totally the Chiefs were smitten with Ruggs. If he had gotten, you know, he ended up getting drafted 12. But if he had gotten down to like 20 or 21, the Chiefs were going to try aggressively to trade up and pick him. Yeah. And so I only mention that because, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire got 138 yards last night, would not have been their first pick, you know, if they could have chosen one other guy. If they had one pick down in the second half of the first round, it would have been Henry Ruggs. But having said all that, I spent 2 days in Kansas City, the 19th and 20th of August, and I watched practice both days. And on both days, they were fully padded practices. And at the end of each practice, I remember walking out with a couple of the local guys, local beat guys. There weren't very many reporters there, but I walked out with, you know, with masks on, and I walked away with a couple of beat guys, and we just couldn't believe how prominent a role the Clyde Edwards-Helaire had played in both practices. And in fact, the first practice, they went 11 on 11 with sort of thud tackling. Okay, they weren't tackling, right, but they were wrapping up.
And, yeah, it was catch and release. Yeah,
got the ball the first four snaps in that practice, and he was very prominent throughout the entire practice. And I walked away, and I just thought, okay, there's no preseason games. This is how Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy are judging what they're going to do with this team. And so Clyde Edwards-Helaire getting 25 carries last night in his first NFL game, quite honestly, it reminds me very much of Kareem Hunt in 2017, when Kareem Hunt came out of nowhere vis-a-vis the University of Toledo, and he won the rushing title as a rookie. And when I left there, I wrote in my column the following week, I said, you know, my only fantasy advice to anybody is do not let Clyde Edwards-Helaire get away from you in the first round. Yeah. And so who knows? I don't know. You can't predict the future, but he's going to be a very prominent guy in a great offense.
And a prominent guy in the first of two Monday night games will be the Steelers-Giants game, and that's Ben Roethlisberger's return.
Yeah.
You're talking about a team that was 8-8 essentially without him last year. How interested are you to see whether he's got some semblance of who Ben Roethlisberger is right now?
Great question. You know, you look at the career of Ben Roethlisberger right now, and, you know, he's 38 years old, and you basically wonder, okay, here he is right now, and you kind of wonder, is he going to come back to his, you know, normal level of greatness that you're all used to seeing? I mean, since Ben Roethlisberger turned 33, you know, which is 5 years ago, you know, he's missed a lot of football. He's missed, I'm trying to remember, I think he's missed 22 starts in those 5 years. And so since 2015. And so I can't tell you right now what you're going to see in Roethlisberger, because, quite honestly, I think it, I'm not saying it'll be an upset, but if Vegas set the odds on Ben Roethlisberger playing 15 games, I think it would be maybe 30-70, you know, something like that. You know, he just has not been able to be the durable guy he was earlier in his career. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But I think off the top, I love Chase Claypool. And I love another receiver that people don't know a lot about now, Deontay Johnson, the rookie from last year who Roethlisberger didn't really have much of a chance to work with, but now he does, and he raves about him. So, you know, we'll see. Remember, 2 years ago, Roethlisberger led the NFL in passing yards, in completions, and attempts. So, and that was with what a lot of people felt at the time was a fraying elbow, you know, an elbow that was on the other side, and now it's been repaired.
Yeah.
And we'll see how he does. But I think, at least right off the top, I think the signs are good for the Steelers to get off to a good start.
Well, for me, always a must-read is Football Morning in America. Check it out every Monday when it comes out. Two gems this week were the Lombardi section, as far as I was concerned, and the part on Al Michaels, which obviously in my profession I'd be really interested in. They were really great.
We had a really good conversation. I put it on my podcast this week, and just, you know, a lot of times Al is one of those guys who you just tee him up and he just talks because he's got so many good stories about everything. But I appreciate that, Steve. Thank you.
Always appreciate you, Peter. Thanks so much. Appreciate the time, especially at such a busy time.
Hey, anytime. Give me a call anytime, and good luck, Steve.